Hello, teachers. Ben Jennings here. We are in Explore the Bible study in Matthew. This is session number 4 that deals with Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. And then it goes on and deals with 43 through 48. This particular lesson deals with the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is an amazing sermon. Obviously, Jesus is the best preacher that's ever lived. This may be his most famous sermon, as it were. He went around and spoke a lot to people. And what's kind of tricky about this particular passage is that the Sermon on the Mount was, in some ways, a sermon to the Jews, and in some ways, a sermon to his disciples. Jesus is talking in some ways to his disciples as those listened on. He also was talking to the Jews and essentially trying to blow up the way they thought about going to heaven. They were a bunch of people who thought, because I'm Jewish, I'm in with God, and because I basically keep the law, and they wouldn't even say basically, because I keep the law, I'm good with God. The problem is they thought they kept the law in a way that Jesus explains to them, you know, you don't really keep the law that way. And so, anyway, the point is, this is God's will. This is Jesus's will. He's talking about how he wants his people to live, but in a sense, like, this is not how you get to heaven. They thought this maybe like is what you get to heaven, and Jesus is trying to expand that. So we worked on the lesson, and we put this objective statement together. Every person's need for Christ's righteousness is exposed by his teaching in these three areas. So we're going to see that the righteousness that they have on their own is not enough to make them right with God. They need an alien righteousness. That's kind of what Jesus is trying to get them to. And so we see that, at the same time, this is an expression of God's will for his followers. So, three areas where we see our need for Christ's righteousness. And as we get saved and as the Holy Spirit works in us, is a way we can pursue living rightly. So the first area is our influence. We see that in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. It says this: "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Here we see God's intention for his followers. Our righteousness is exposed. We are following God rightly when we steward our influence. And he says, basically, we need to be careful not to lose our light, not to lose our saltiness. And the truth of the matter is, the bottom line is, we can't be salty on our own. We need God to redeem us and change us and transform us into people who are salty. Where can we become salty? We get it from Jesus. Where do we get our light? We only really reflect Jesus as he transforms us. And so he says, essentially, as God transforms you, and that's the point I'm trying to make, is we need him to transform us and to make us salty and to make us lit, as the kids say. We need Jesus to do that. And once he does, then we let our light shine before men so that they can see then our good works that God's doing through us, and then glorify who? Our Father, which is in heaven. He's the one that's doing that. We also see our need for Christ's righteousness in how he talks about our obedience. We see that in that second area in Matthew 5:17 through 20. Jesus says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall not in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." So he's essentially saying, I'm not getting rid of the law. I think what he's about to do is just expose that we can't keep the law. He says in verse 19, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus does say, hey, in my kingdom, obedience is valued, and it's valued highly. And then he says this. This is where it gets really hard, verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. By the way, unless you're better than the people you think are the best, you can't even get in. And so this is Jesus essentially saying to a bunch of people who think that they're okay because they're Jews and because they basically keep the law. He's essentially saying you don't actually really keep the law. In fact, we learn from other passages of scripture, if you break one commandment, you've broken them all. And so, this is what he's trying to do. Now, God does, in the kingdom of God, we're given, to get there, you have to be given the righteousness of Jesus. That's the gospel, that Christ kept the law on our behalf and then took our punishment. And then by justification through faith, when we trust in God, John chapter 3, he who believes in him is not condemned. He that does not believe is condemned already. So you've got this idea of justification by faith, as Moses lifted up the Son of Man in the wilderness, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. So when we look to Jesus by faith, we're saved, we're given his righteousness. That's how we get saved. And then once we are saved, God wants us to obey. He wants us to follow him in obedience. And so we do need to grow in that, but that's what he's trying to explain. Then number three, our love. Every person's need for Christ. Righteousness is exposed by his teaching in these three areas. He has a will about how we love. Verse 43, this is down in chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them which curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Pause. My problem is I don't even love the people that I love like that. When people I love do me wrong, I am tempted to not love them back, but to render evil for evil. Not even counting my enemies. My enemies, that's all I get from them, and I'm not always the kind of person that of myself wants to do good to them, even when they're bad to me. And he says, when you do good to your enemies, you become a child of the Father. God loves his enemies. God loved us. Even when we were sinners, Christ died for us. And so he says, for he maketh his Son, this is his common grace, he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain unto the just and the unjust. There's a common grace that happens even for people that hate God. Unbelievable. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Even the most evil, sinful people in their culture love people who love them. Verse 47, and if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. This is, again, back to this theme that we're talking about. What Jesus, I believe, is trying to induce in the hearts and minds of the people listening to him is, I can't do that. I can't love like that. I don't love that. I haven't loved like that. I can't be perfect. Yes, God in heaven is perfect. I can't be perfect like that. That's the point. We need Christ's righteousness. We need Christ's spirit. We need Christ's words. We need all of that to be able to even begin to approach the things that he's requiring of us. Praise the Lord that he kept the law on our behalf so that we can be transformed. And we can begin to grow in sanctification, grow in Christ's likeness as he saves us, and as we submit to his word and his spirit in our hearts. So I hope this helped a little bit. We want to rightly handle the word of God, and I hope that this helped you today in that endeavor. Have a great Sunday.